Hello, 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 everyone. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to Sisters United. How's everybody doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. And you ladies, it's a pleasure to join you this morning.
Yes, ma'am. As always, welcome to Sisters United. And Sisters United is a talk show where us ladies get together and we talk about things that's very near and dear to our heart that affects our community. And we all have different perspectives, but we all agree that sisters need to be united, and we're so blessed to be here. And we're even blessed to be here with our guest, Miss Martha High. Miss Martha High she's an icon. She's been in the music business for a very long time. She has a lot of wealth and knowledge to share with us all. Without any further ado, we're gonna go ahead and get started with that. Miss Martha High, if you could just go ahead and introduce us to yourself.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say good morning, Miss Queenie, and good morning, Miss Lily. It's such a pleasure being here with you all this morning. I don't know how the weather, and Miss Robinson, how are you?
I'm great, Miss Martha. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is actually Mary Martha Harvey. Okay. And my stage name is Martha High. I've been wearing that name for over 40 years now, thanks to Mr. Brown, the godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown. He gave me that name because he didn't think that Harvin, Martha Harvin, was a good name for the stage. So he had a hard time in pronouncing my last name. And he told me one day, he said, "That's not a good name for somebody on the stage. I'm going to have to give you another name." So he came up with the name High, and it's been with me ever since. So... also, ladies, I am a child of God. I just want to share that with you. And it always makes me feel good to know that I'm around his children.
Absolutely.
That love the Lord as much as I do. And it makes me very comfortable and very thankful to meet wonderful ladies like you. And I have a daughter. I do have a daughter. I had three kids, but I lost my two sons in 1995. So I have a beautiful young lady, a young daughter. Well, young lady, I should say, because she's not a little kid anymore. She's actually in the Army. She's a major in the Army. So I'm very proud of her. Yeah, she's doing wonderful. So. And also, I am a grandmother. I have six grandkids. Grandchildren. I'm so used to saying kids all the time because they always been around me, but they're grown. And then I have six great grandkids.
Okay.
And one on the way.
Awesome.
I'm very, very blessed, you know. Did you say, I thought you were asking a question. I'm very blessed because four of my great grands are kids of my daughter. So that's, I feel like they left me a part of them, and I'm very thankful for that, because I miss my sons, but I have my great grands, so that's a plus. My great grands and my granddaughter. Also, my perception of getting ahead. I am always motivated to do things because I especially with this pandemic and not being able to perform. On the road anymore, I kind of miss it, but then I'm not too sad about it because I still I'm involved with a lot of videos, virtual videos that I have participated with a lot of bands from overseas, from Europe.
Okay.
And that's been a blessing to be able to join people that I've worked with in the past and have these videos and everything. But I'm also very thankful that a lot of things are happening for me here in the States. I'm getting ready to have a radio show. My radio show starts October the 6th, and it's called Martha's It's High Time radio show.
Okay. And
it's being broadcast on www.studiowbuzz.com. So it's all around the world. Anyone can please join in anytime. You know, it will be on every first Tuesdays and third Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, we'd like for everyone to join in if you can. And we will have special guests. We will be interviewing special guests. We'll have old school music and new and upcoming music. And we're just going to have a good time. And
okay.
Tell a few little stories about being out on the road and everything. And also in my spare time when I'm at home, I have a hobby that I really enjoy. I'm an artist. I love to paint. I love to draw and paint. And these are some of my paintings around me. And I like to do that.
All right.
Yes, in the evenings when I'm, you know, tired of watching TV or something like that. Or just have a little spare time.
Yes, ma'am.
Enjoying that. I'm also an author. Okay. And Tammy, I want to say thank you for buying my book. My book, and it's called He's a Funny Cat, Miss High. That's the name of my book, and it's my 32 years with the Godfather of Soul. And my book tells the story of how it was to work with Mr. Brown. And I want to know that he's a human being as well as a great entertainer. But you know, just being around him was kind of hard. But then it was a pleasure too. I learned a lot from him. He's my mentor. He's one of my mentors, okay. And I enjoyed working with him. I also was
awesome.
I was his hairstylist for 15 to 20 years. Yeah.
Well, Miss High. When did you first start out singing? Tell us a little bit about when you first started out singing.
Okay, well, I started most Black families and everything, you know, we go to church a lot because, you know, our parents, well, at least my parents, they insisted that we go to church, and it was fine for me because I enjoyed listening to the choir, and then as I got older, I became a member of the junior choir at my church. At that time it was Mount Airy Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and that's where I was raised. So through the years, I used to sing around the house when I was young and everything, you know. And so my brothers used to raise the fan and complain about me making noise around the house. So they went to my mother and told her and said, "Will you tell her to stop all that noise?" You know, my mother said, "She's not making noise. She's singing." So I felt something then, but I just never thought that I would actually become a singer. And that happened during my senior high years in school. When I was attending Roosevelt High School, I met a couple of young ladies that was in my classroom, and we decided that we wanted to become a group, sing together, because there was another group in my high school. And their names were the Four Jewels. They were the Four Jewels. And they used to perform at a lot of sock hops that we had at our school and different places. And they got to be very popular around Washington, D.C. They ended up recording some records and everything. So they became popular. And this was happening all during my second and third year of high school. Anyway, I started a small group of my own, and we started rehearsing together. I was about 15 years old. And we started rehearsing and everything. And we found a place where we could rehearse. We met this gentleman that wanted to become our manager. And he ended up introducing us to Bo Diddley. Bo Diddley lived in Washington, D.C. So we started rehearsing at there at his studio. And then I met the Four Jewels there. Now, I knew, like I said, I knew of them because they went to the same school. And and so anyway, they used to rehearse there. And we started rehearsing as well. One day, Mr. Bo Diddley came to me and said, Martha, you need to audition for the Four Jewels. And I said, why? You know, he said, well, one of the girls is leaving and they're looking for another singer. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. I'm not that good of a singer.
I don't think I can.
He said, I think that you should join them because, you know, you have a good tone and you can hold your note and everything. So just try. I did. I auditioned for them and I was very nervous and they gave me parts to sing with them. And about 3 days later, I heard from the leader of the group, Sandra Beard, and she told me, she said, Martha, you know, we like you, we like your voice and you fit in very well. So we would like for you to join our group. Now that's when I felt that I really became a singer then. Because we wasn't doing much of anything with my group. And Bo Diddley gave us the name, the group that I had, he gave us the name, the Boettes. And we did some little songs and everything, never actually put anything out, but we did record one time and that was fun and everything. But after I joined the Four Jewels, I became the fourth jewel because one of the girls leaving. And singing with them, we recorded some songs and everything. And then maybe about 2 years after being with them, we met this gentleman that became our manager, Smokey McAllister. He took us to New York City. We recorded a song called Opportunity. And as we learned, while we were learning that song, Mr. McAllister called in George Clinton.
Was that your introduction into the actual professional industry?
Absolutely. Yeah, because we did a song. George Clinton taught us the song that became a national hit for us, and it was called Opportunity. He taught us that song, and that was our national hit. That's how we became, to start traveling and meeting other, opening up for other artists and everything. So, yes, that's when I felt that I was a professional singer. That's how that
started. That was your arrival. You have arrived. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, of course, you know, you have a wealth of knowledge. You can't live without getting a wealth of knowledge. Tell me, what would be your advice for the up and coming generation?
Well, I think that it's very, very important, especially these days. And then, you know, so many, the music business has changed so much since I started recording in the 60s. I mean, so totally different. Now everyone is doing their own thing in their own homes, in their own studios. They don't really have to depend on large music business, you know, the large like RCA or something like that. You know, they can put their own songs out, and that's wonderful. And I actually kind of like it this way now. It's not as hard as it was in the past, you know. But I still feel that the kids that are coming up in this business, that they have someone in their corner that they can trust and they can depend on helping them and showing them the right way, you know, the right path to be on. And if they are really serious and want to really stay in that business, to keep it, to get all the knowledge they know and to stick with it. Excuse me. To stick with what they're doing, if they really want to become a musician or a singer or something like that, to really stick with it and know something about the business, the other side of the business, exactly, instead of just entertaining.
The business side of it.
Yes, the business side of it. And if you're going to be an entertainer, not just a singer, not just go out there and think that it's okay to go out there and just sing. But know, you know, have something to offer and
showmanship.
Showmanship. Be the best that you can be, because that's important. That's more important. Because if you meet someone or you have someone that's on your side and everything, they can help you take care of your business and everything. But you have to do your part, and your part is to be an entertainer and be the best that you can be.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we talked about backstage before we came on about integrity and being with people you can trust, who's going to be honest with you about things. And, you know, that's not going to take advantage of you, you know, and definitely.
Yeah. And I can say that, you know, during the time that I was recording and, you know, coming up in the business, of course, I went through a lot of changes about people not being honest and not getting my royalties that I should have received and things like that, you know. So it's very, very important that you make sure that you're with the right people that's going to treat you right and do you right, you know.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. Now I want to get into this book. You have this awesome, awesome book, and make sure y'all go out there and get it. Make sure you get out there, go out there and get it. As an author, what would you want your readers to feel or know about you in this book? What do you want their takeaway from this book to be? Because there's a lot in here. You know, I'll be honest, I read through it, but I did not get all the way through it, and I'm so excited about getting the rest of the way through because it's so much in here, and it can definitely help us. So what would you want them to have a takeaway from it?
Okay, so we were talking about, you know, getting into the business and making sure that you're with someone that's really going to help you move ahead and become the entertainer that you want to be. And, you know, I'm just saying, especially to the younger ladies, female artists and everything, you know, just really, really be careful. And you don't have to do things to be in the business. You know, if you're a good entertainer, you're a good singer and everything, you don't have a problem in being ahead, you know. Just stick to what you're doing and be the best that you can be. In my book, I do tell you the stories about the ups and downs of my career. And I feel like I wanted to tell that part of my life, because I don't want the younger entertainers or the younger singers that's coming up to go through the same thing that I did, you know. I feel like I needed to share that. It was in my heart to share that. I'm not ashamed of what I went through, because it was a lesson and it was a stepping stone for me to continue and to do better. So, I have a lot of stories in there about Mr. Brown and how he was as a person. You know, everyone knows Mr. Brown as an entertainer, but I wanted everyone to know that he was a person. And yes, he's had his ups and downs and everything like that. I didn't really want to talk about his ups and downs, because I'm sure that a lot of people are familiar with what he has went through, you know, through his life, through his time of performing and everything. So it was just a special part of him, a special side of him that a lot of people don't know. And he was a very funny guy, and he didn't really know that he was that funny, you know. So I tell the stories about being with him and traveling with him. I was his hairstylist at one time, and traveling with him and really getting to know him. And it was just a pleasure for me because he shared a lot of things about the music business, on the business side. And he was always making sure that I wouldn't fall into other people coming to me saying different things and everything. He was very protective. And my stories about him and the times that I traveled with him were very, very special to me. And that's why I wanted to share those times with other people. You know, even just I'm sure that there are background singers that have sang with other people like Michael Jackson and Prince and Stevie Wonder and everything. And I'm sure that they have special stories to share with everyone, you know, because it is, it's a part of him that you, that other people don't know, you know. So it was fun working with him and I learned a lot. There were some hard times on the show during the 70s and things like that, you know, that we went through. But by me wanting to be on the road and I'm learning a lot from Mr. Brown, I had the choice to stay or to leave, but I chose to stay because it was something that I wanted to do. And I felt, and I knew by then, especially then, that I wanted to go out on my own one day. And I felt that if I stay, you know, I learn a lot from Mr. Brown because I was traveled with him extensively because I was his hairdresser. So his hairstylist. So I learned, I would listen to how he took care of his business and, you know, just be around him to hear him discuss his business and take care of business and everything. So I learned a lot from him. And I'm very pleased about that because I was able to step out on faith and go out on my own. And that way, when I did go out, now, before I stepped out on my own, I worked with Maceo Park as well, and I worked with him for 16 years. He was the saxophone player for Mr. Brown, but I traveled with him for 16 years, and I just feel like all of that time that I spent with Mr. Brown and Mr. Parker, an assurance of, okay, I've sang with these people this long. I think that I'm ready to do my own thing, you know, even though I'm much older, but still God is good. And
awesome.
Evidently it was just my time. You know, I think that he said yes, it's ma'am. Time for you to step out on faith, and that's what I did. And I'm very happy
yes, ma'am.
Because I have worked with many musicians and different singers and traveled all parts of the world, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I'm very, very happy and proud and thankful. I thank God for the gift that He has given me, the voice that He has given me, and also with my painting. I'm very happy about that too. You know, that was a gift from God as well.
So yes, ma'am. Well, I absolutely love the transparency with the book and with yourself. I like the fact that you said that there are ups and downs in the business. And when you wrote the book, you didn't write the book with perceived notion to harvest, you know, to horn in on all the bad or horn in all the good, to bring everything together. You didn't go in with the intentions of doing a particular thing. You just want to be transparent and share this with the world and show yourself with the world. So we definitely appreciate you with that. So let's see. What do you want people to know about Miss Martha Hyde that they cannot find in this book or they can't find in an interview?
Well, you know, I am, just like I said, I'm an artist as far as like drawing. And I, a lot of times I'm, when I'm not working on the road, I do master classes. I teach voice lessons. And that has been a wonderful time for me, because just to be able to share and to help someone else that's in that wanting to get into the business, that is such a wonderful time for me. I've done that, done a lot of that overseas. And as I said, you know, like, it's such a pleasure, because here you meet French people and Germans and Spanish people that just love American music. And they want to learn. And, you know, some people even ask me, well, how did you get your soul? I mean, where does the soul come from?
You're born with that.
Well, you know what? I said, do you love singing as much as I do? And they said, yes. I said, well, if you love singing as much as I do, you know, everything that you feel about music, just let it come out. Let it come from your inside. Your inside, that's where your soul is at. You know, that's where your soul. So everybody, anyone can be soulful, as long as when you sing out and you give to your audience, and you enjoy what you're doing, and you make them feel good and enjoy the music. That's from your soul, and that's what soul is to me. So I love working with others and helping them to feel and know where their soul is, you know. They tell me, oh, I never thought of that, you know, but that's exactly what's happening with it, you know. And also I have a few other projects that I'm doing. I have a shop online, and it's called Martha's Shop In. And you can go to www.ebay.com and look up Martha's Shop In. I have some pretty nice articles, and you can even buy my book from there. And I have T-shirts and just all different items and a lot of things from different parts of the country and the world that I've traveled. As I said, that I have a talk show. That's coming up. I think I shared that already, right?
Looking forward to it.
And then I have other projects. I'm working. I have an album out right now. It's called Nothing's Going Wrong. And the album was actually released about 2 weeks before the pandemic stopped everything. And that was a drag. That was a drag, because it just stopped everything, you know. And I was planning on going on a promotional tour, and that was, of course, that was canceled, and everything else was canceled. So, but we're planning on re-releasing the album, and we're also going to add more songs on it to, you know, just to let everyone know we're thankful that we're back to work, and it's a blessing to be able to go back to work, and I'm hoping that will happen soon. And again, like I said, virtually, I'm doing a lot of, I've done a lot of songs and videos with different musicians and everything. So I'm looking forward to continue doing that. And this is one of the things that I'm happy about, that the musicians and singers are getting together, and they're doing a lot of things, you know, posting it on the medias and everything. And I think that keeps people happy and understand that the music will never stop, you know, the love for music.
Right.
And we all of the musicians and singers and everything, we're just happy to be able to still share our music and share our voices and our talents with everyone, you know. And I think that's when it comes to technology, that's a great thing. I think that's about it. I have some more projects coming up, but I don't want to share them right now, because, you know, I'm not really superstitious, but then I think sometimes it's always better to wait and to make sure that these things happen before you share them. So
where can we keep up with you? Where can we where can we keep up with you on social media?
Yes. Okay. I don't have a web page, but I do have an artist page on Facebook, And okay. It's called Martha High, the Goddess of Soul.
Okay.
And you can, on that page, all of my events are posted there. All of my, all of my videos that I've done in the past and just recently, this songs that I have done with other artists virtually, and photos are there. All of my contacts, my managers, I have a manager, excuse me, Mr. Tony Match for Europe and other countries, and I have a very wonderful manager here. Her name is Janelle Harris. That's my manager here in the States.
Awesome. And
all of the information and contact is there. Excuse me. So everything that you want to contact me, and also it's on my page where you can get the link for Martha High, Martha Shopin. Excuse me.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm just
going to take a little horse.
Take a break and take a little drink.
Well, I definitely want to thank you. Thank you so much. Because, I mean, I know your voice is tired because we talked, you know, earlier that your voice was tired. And we just thank you so much for, you know, coming on, you know.
It's been a pleasure. You know, thank you for inviting me. And, again, it's very nice to meet all of you ladies. And I do feel like I'm with my sisters. And I think that we should share this all over the world because it's a beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Get you some honey.
It's a pleasure.
Get some honey. Well, we want to thank Ms. High for coming on. We're going to you know, proceed on with the rest of the show. We don't want to miss High to strain her voice any further. Definitely thank you so much for coming on with us.
I'll be keeping up with you.
Yeah,
I'll be on your Facebook page, and you know, just you know, I'll be keeping up with you.
Okay, and I'm looking forward to you ladies in to tune in with me on Tuesdays, every first and third Tuesdays of each month to listen to my radio show.
Yes.
So I'll be looking forward to hearing from you and.
Said starting October, what was the date? What was the date you said starting October?
October the 6th. That's the first show. And then the second one is October the 20th. So it's every first and third Tuesdays of each month.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Awesome. All right, ladies. I want to go ahead and bring up a topic, a very hot topic that I don't know if most of y'all had an opportunity to watch the presidential debate last night. that was
Queenie. We can't hear you.
Miss Queenie's talking. Hold on. We can't hear you.
Turn your mic on. Before we let Miss Martha go, why don't we just say a prayer, you know, and I just want to say we thank God for you coming on, and I know a lot of women are listening, and they are very encouraged by what you are saying and all of the experience progress that you have made, and I just want to just say hats off to you, and we look forward like. Keisha said, we look forward to just following you along your journey. Yeah. So let's just say a prayer before we let you go, because I know you got some things that you need to go do.
Okay.
So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you touch Miss High right now, Father God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you meet the need for her home. We ask, Father God, that you go before her, Father God, hallelujah, and you just make a way out of no way. Lord, we ask that you give her everything that she needed and desired. Even in these new things that she's beginning to do in her life,
We know, Father God, that your hand is all in it. And Lord, that you will keep her in perfect peace as long as she keep her mind stayed on you. And we thank you right now. Give her a special blessing for coming on this show today and sharing with us the things that she has experienced, which has indeed been a joy. And we thank you for it right now. In your son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Thank
all
you
right.
for that, Miss Queenie. I appreciate prayers mean everything. Prayer changes things, and it's just a blessing to be able to share and continue our journey.
All right. Yes, well, we enjoyed you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye,
thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right,
Miss Lily.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and dig off into this next topic. Did everybody get an opportunity to watch the presidential debate?
I went to the circus.
If you watch the presidential debate, you did go to the circus.
I went to the circus. Yes, I did go to the circus. The big top was in full effect. All of the action was right up under the big top.
Bye. Now, I'm going to highlight a comment that our president made. And I think it hit the black community. It hit everybody, but I think it hit the black community more than anything. They was asking if he was going to denounce hate groups such as white supremacy. And he ran around the question, and he basically said, "Well, which one are you speaking in regards to?" They specifically said the KKK. And our president said, okay, he said, he paraphrased me. He said, I'm going to tell them to step back and stand by. Did y'all hear that? He's going to tell them to step back and stand by.
Stand by. That's what he said.
Stand by. That means ready. When you tell somebody, stand by. And when he said that, I was like, you know what? And I've been saying this for years while he's been in office. That's that man's people. I don't care what y'all say. That is that man's people. If you know this President Donald Trump background, his parents were grand wizards of the KKK. So for you to be in a household and live up under that, and that's part of your foundation. It's embedded to you. I'm not saying nobody can change, that people can't change because you can't change. But when it's so embedded into your foundation, it's hard to shake it off. So that's the comment that stuck to me harder than anything, because I was like, you know, there you go. I didn't know by now. He said it to you. So
he said that, and I was like, did I hear what I just heard? That was number one. Did I hear what I just heard? And then, of course, you know, when I went on that's what everybody on Facebook, I said, okay, well, that is what I heard. And I was like, wow. That's some transparency for your behind. I'm just saying, you know, let me tell you one thing I always say. When a person shows you who they are and they're telling you who they are, I mean, you know what you're dealing with. If I'm a thief and I'm telling you I'm a thief, well, don't leave your purse around, because I already done told you, you know, what I do. If I suffer from a major case of diabetes, then you better research everything I say, because I done already told you I'm a liar, you know, or whatever. So when, you know, when people are telling you who they are, you can't get mad for them being honest with you. You know, you can't get mad at that. You cannot get mad at a person being truthful about who they are. So my question with it all and everybody tripping about it, he answered the question. You know, so now what? Now what? Now you know who I am. What you gonna do?
But he didn't tell you who he was.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth, but I'm just saying. It's like really reiterated. Like, okay, you're running for president and you said that. Just like before, when he won the election, I knew that we was dealing with something different. Because he said that if he killed somebody in Central Park, nothing would happen to him. He said that. So you either have to have made a deal with the devil, a deal with the devil, to have that kind of boldness about you, or you know a whole lot about some really important people. You know what I'm saying? To really feel like you have that kind of clout. What is that? So I don't know. I try to. Like political stuff or whatever, but when you sit up and you just really put it out there, I mean, you want it to be addressed. I mean, what do you do with that?
Wait a minute. Now, you know, his grandfather was a pimp, though.
I heard about that.
He said, if you want a woman, just grab her by the pussy.
He said that. But you know what? Maybe in days or whatever, when that was his thing or whatever, then it was fine. But baby, these ones these days grab back. So you better watch where you put your hands. I'm just saying, you better watch where you put your hands, because, you know, or whatever, when you, you know, go to, you know, and I don't like all of the talking up under, but I mean, I'm a real person, you know, so. Yeah, these days, these women are on a whole nother level. And baby, this YouTube movement that is going around has really made a lot of these women, you know, that they got a posse down. So you go to grabbing right now, you're going to be in some trouble, because it's going to be about 15 grabbing back at you. So watch when you put your hands. Tread lightly. That's all I can say. Tread lightly.
Well, I know a lot of people are upset, but I'm like this, you know, Donald Trump, he just exposed the bigotry, you know, while people were sleeping, thinking that everything was okay. And everybody was getting ahead and everybody was equal and all that. Donald Trump did all of us one faith. He just uncovered where all of the racism is, all of the bigotry is, you know, even though it just, we know that he's, you know, who he is, but look at what he exposed. He just showed us where it all is. And look, you got an option. You either stay asleep or you wake up and do something about it, period. You know, voting is coming. It's time to vote. Now, he done went on TV and then, you know what he's really doing? This is the way I feel about it. He's really said, just like that statement he made about Black people, what do you have to lose, right? That's the way he is. He's going to put it out there, and he's going to, because in his head, people are too ignorant to vote. They are going to gloss over what he said. People are so enthralled by, they are so, you know, distracted by balloons and cameras and all of this media madness till they forget to vote. Till they are caught up in his razzle dazzle and all of that till they forget how important it is to vote. You see what I'm saying? He wants you talking about, you know, because there's a lot of folk. I'm going to tell you, let's be real. There's a lot of folk that's going to sit on the couch on November 3rd and still run their mouth about how messed up this country is because of Trump. So what we need to do now that he has to, didn't nobody reveal Trump. Trump came right out as a wolf. He didn't have on no sheep's clothes.
Even before, I'm telling you, that's what I'm
saying. Guys, you know, he came straight out the gate with the white little KKK tent or whatever that is they wear. He came right on out with the uniform on. He came from the start. So it's like he's counting on the folk that haven't been voting, don't take it seriously to vote. Those that are at the drive-through and they should be over in the line ready to vote. Those that sleep and they was too tired and, you know, in the net, and before you know it, November 4th, is, you know, he's counting on people to stay asleep. That's what he counts on.
Well, my whole thing is he said something that was really interesting to me on the debate. When Joe Biden brought up that, like, you know, the different things that he said that really don't amount to anything, i.e. the inject yourself with bleach or however it was he said it. His comment was, well, you know, I said that sarcastically. Everything you say is sarcastically. So what part do we supposed to believe and what part, you know, what is the part that, you know, we're supposed to take you seriously on? Because everything you say is done in a sarcastic manner. You know, what I'm just so, you know, I'm just so, but yeah, I was at the circus. I don't know if I was in the United States. Next circus.
Huh? What did you say, Tammy? He's the president of the United States. He's the president of the United States. He's not supposed to be sarcastic like that when you're talking to the American people and you're going to throw out that be funny and shoot up with bleach. You know, people took that seriously.
But you know what? But you know what, Tammy? He's not even supposed to. Okay, he's not supposed to be sarcastic. He's not even supposed to be on Twitter. But let's just be real. It's a whole lot of he's not supposed to be been going on since he's been in office. You know, just for
that,
to be
that didn't apply
he ain't even
to
supposed
the
to be president
before that he done made a lot of him. Girl, I don't know. I said in a lot of stuff that hadn't applied to previous presidents that he made apply to him. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just so he makes me exhausted. You know, I was. He does. I was looking at somebody's post. They said they was on their second bottle of wine. Watch this. You know,
the second bottle of wine.
Second bottle of wine. And I was like, yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, be quiet and let everybody talk. Let's bring in respect. You know, he wouldn't even let the man talk. He would not let Biden talk. You know, he had to keep asking, okay, I had 30 more seconds. Can I reclaim in my time? You know, that's how I feel. You know, he can't get all that time that he took back. You know, and like the moderator said, your people agreed that you was going to shut up for 3 minutes. He didn't say it like that, but, you know, I'm just saying, I'm ad-libbing. Your people agreed that you was going to shut up for 3 minutes and let this other person talk. That's what your people said. You know, you're not even sticking with it. I just,
that was a hot mess.
Tammy, you messy today. This here is just messy today. Just messy. Yeah.
I'm stepping in Rita's spot.
You stepping in Rita's spot. Just messy.
Yeah, you started
this. I had to. It had to be talked about, you know, because, I mean, he showed you who he was. It has to be talked about. And it's amazing how you got all these other, these black Republicans that's all for Trump. And he didn't show you who you are. So what do you do now? You know, I'm all for Trump. And I don't mind being, you know, you can be whatever party you want to be, Democrat, Republican, because I don't step on either one of the sides because I think they all have agendas.
I'm bipartisan. Who has done that's what me. They said they were going to do?
That's me.
The way they said they were going to do it based on the circumstance, because you can go in with the best of plans. And then, you know, like something happening, you have to kind of wiggle stuff. I don't have an issue with that. But just changing the whole, we supposed to be foxtrotting, and here you are with the tango. What are we doing? You know, you can't do that. You know, whatever, you just, you know, you can't do it like that. You know, whatever. So I want to know who does what they say, because a lot of the times it might not be somebody that look like you that's doing the right, the thing that's the best for you, you know, whatever. So I don't necessarily look at a person and go, oh, I'm a vote for that person because of whatever. What have they done?
Yeah.
You know, people that look like you will be the ones that will sit up and set you up. Tuskegee experiment. They brought them black nurses and black, you know, or whatever, people that look like them or whatever that will sit, that sit up and got them injected with, you know, the syphilis, you know, or whatever. Yeah. They'll have people that look just like you that won't do you right. So I need to know, regardless to what you look like, really regardless to your party affiliation, what have you done?
Yeah.
You know, I used to help my grandmother understand, you know, like the different people, because she would do her mail imbalance. And she'd be like, well, I need you to help me know about these people. Granted, wait a minute, I'm still researching. You know, I'm not just voting for you because your name is Keisha and I ain't never seen a Keisha on a ballot. Or I'm not voting for you just because your hair just as big and fluffy and wild as mine. You know, necessarily, I need to know what you're about. You know, I need to know. So that's the way I am, or whatever. You know, whatever. So,
that's me too. You know, I don't do party affiliations and all that. I stand for God.
I'm a Democrat. You know, I am, but whatever. I'm not a straight ticket voter. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Because a lot of the mess that we are in right now, I believe. You know, whatever, and oftentimes I don't mean like just this situation here, but I mean in life, it's because you look a certain way, or you went to a certain place, or you know, and you get caught up in all of that, and this person is not even trying, that you know, they don't even have your best interest at heart. So based on your track record, because your track record says to me what you're going to be about. Have you done what you said you're going to do? That integrity thing, you know, I like that integrity thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your conversation? You know, do you say one thing over here and another thing over here?
Exactly.
So, yes, ma'am. But I don't know these big folks.
I'm off my soapbox.
Open their eyes up. They better open their eyes and recognize. They better open their eyes and recognize it for what it is.
That's true,
Miss Rita.
You really quiet over there.
You
went to the circus?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go to the circus? I didn't. Girl, I had me some popcorn.
I'm going to go watch a replay, but I didn't realize it was on when I was in the midst of something, so I didn't get a chance to actually, but I've seen all of the comments, and I already knew it was going to be what it was, so... Yeah.
Queenie, Penny, for your thoughts, you quiet up there. What you doing? What you thinking about?
I'm going to entertain Trump, you know.
Oh.
Trump has been a mess. He's always, you know, been a mess. You can't, I mean, if a lemon is a lemon, you ain't going to get apple juice out of a lemon.
No, not. Mm-hmm. And if you do, let me know, because we can make that part of the circus.
You know, the whole thing, it's that we just at a time where people need to vote. They need to just get up and go vote and stop playing. Just like we all lined up to vote for Obama, you know, this is just as major, if not more major, to make sure that this man don't get a second term. Just
and don't wait until November to vote. Early vote.
If you know you don't want to stand in the line,
it could be a major flood the day that you're supposed to go vote in November, and your vote don't get cast. You know, you can get caught up at work or anything. Vote early. Go early and cast your vote.
Is it too late to mail in vote?
Huh?
Is it too late to do the mail-in vote? Because I know somebody that wanted to do it, but I wasn't.
You know what? I can find out right now. Because you have to request them if you hadn't had them previously. If they usually get a mail-in ballot,
then they'll still get them from what I understand and looked at. So let me see. I'll let you know in just a second. I'm in research right now.
Okay. I heard somebody say they think the polls location is probably going to get violent. But that's one of the Facebook comments that I
see. You know what? Let me tell you something. People put mess out there and have people reacting. That's one thing. Like, you know, the sometimes the stuff on social media and the media, they create things.
Right.
You know, whatever. I don't think that it's going to get, because nobody should know who you're voting for, no way. So I don't know how it could get, you know, I don't know how it can get ugly, you know, unless people trying to pull people out of line or people trying to deny people a vote. And they have the poll captains, I think, or the poll chiefs or whatever they call, they'd be right on it in there because, you know, there have been cases and somebody said, okay, you can't, you know, you can't vote here. You know, you're not registered to vote here. And maybe they lived in another county. So they went right ahead and told them what it was that they need to do and got the issue, you know, resolved then. So you have, unless you have a person who's not willing to put in the work to really do what they're supposed to do, then you have another issue.
Right.
You know, you can call some of these groups that, you know, go out or whatever and deal with the voter suppression, you know, whatever. And if you recently moved from one county to another, one area to another, you can go online and make sure that you're registered to vote. It should not catch you by surprise showing up to go and vote and you can't vote. You should already know what you're doing or whatever. Just like if you were going to go to like a new job or something like that, you show up with your pen and paper because you're right. Coming to do work. So don't wait until November. Vote early. Don't wait until election day to vote. Get your butt out there in October and vote. Now,
let me
see what I was looking for.
Yep,
I know my pastor is.
Times.
Huh?
Now, I say, yes, we're living in some interesting times.
Mm-hmm. I know my pastor is, you know, for some of us, because the church that I go to, you know, we have a lot of seniors at the church. And they have mail-in ballots because they're not coming out because of all this COVID. What he's doing is going by and collecting them. And he gonna take them himself.
Okay.
You know, down there to them, you know, so they don't have to come out the house. They can stay in and to make sure they get where they're supposed to go. Now, are they gonna do with them what they supposed to do with them when they get there? I don't know because I think during the debate last night, I was watching something. There was some, you know, the military people, they do mail-in ballots all the time. Military people. Somebody said they found something in, they found some in a trash can somewhere. You know.
Oh. Yeah, you can't trust it.
You know, I don't know. I'm going in. As a matter of fact, I need to see because we had talked about like the city club president or whatever we talked about over here was walking through the neighborhood with signs or whatever. And we gonna walk because it's a polling area, and that's a good thing too. Like you used to have to go to a designated place to cast your vote. Anywhere that they have a you know voting, you can go.
And we're just kind of early voting, right?
No, that's doing anytime.
Oh, really?
You can regular vote anywhere now. You don't have to go to a particular place no more. When they had all of that, when President Obama said, where they had all of the, they divided the people. If you Democrat, you vote here. If you Republican, you vote here. And the lines were so long and it was, they stopped all of that. You can vote anywhere.
Yeah, I thought it was only like where you zoned to.
Not anymore. It's not that anymore. Oh, you can vote anywhere. Okay.
All right, well, ladies, it looks like we're winding down the time. It's 10:58.
Oh, okay. We right on the money.
Yes, ma'am. Now, you know, if we mess around and start a whole nother topic, that's a whole nother hour. So.
we did not do that. Okay, it says to, let me just, to be eligible to early mail in Texas, you must be 65 or older, be sick or disabled, be out of the country on election day and during the period for early voting by personal appearance or be confined in jail, but otherwise eligible.
let's see. I don't, they have the address here. Let's see, this website is sos.texas, T-E-X-A-S.gov. So this will have all of the information that you need about early voting on there. So SOS, that's Sam Oscar Sam dot Texas dot gov. And everything about the mail-in ballots is on here to tell you the last day that you can get an early ballot, what you have to do, the qualifications and everything. So check out that website.
Sure will. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's 11 o'clock. Is it okay if I go ahead and sign off?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Let's get the signing off.
Yes, this is a great, it's been a great show. I'm really grateful that Miss Martha High was able to come in and spend some time with us and share some of her experiences and everything with us. I want y'all to meet us here. No, beat us here. Not just meet us here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. with Sisters United. Be more than happy to see you.
Central Time.
Signing off.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to say check out Ms. Martha High. I was about to say Stuart. I'm sorry. Ms. Martha High. And make sure you please go out there and vote. It's like your life depends on it, because it does. Make sure you at voting. Early voting is what we recommend. But however, just make sure you vote. Okay?
That's right. So that's right.
Next Wednesday, 10 a.m. We'll see you here.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you so much, ladies, for getting on with us. Thank you so much for the audience for watching. We are so super excited about this platform. Thank you, Ms. High, for joining us on and bringing about your expertise, your knowledge, your wealth of knowledge, your wisdom, and all of above. Make sure you go out and get a book. It's called He's a Funny Cat, Miss High. It's right on her website. You go to her her Facebook page, it has her website on there where you can get her book. Get it and pick it up and read it and so forth. It's very transparent. It's refreshing. Make sure you get out there and vote. We prefer that you early vote because we don't know what may happen on Astro Election Day. So you want to go ahead and get out there early. So just in case something happened on that day, then you can just say, well, that's all right. I've already voted already. So, and make sure you check out my website, www.TammyLily.com. My book is on there as well for sale. It's Why Your Refund Is So Low. It's targeted for business owners. So you want to make sure that you get that information. It's a wealth of knowledge on there as well. Knowledge is power. Go ahead, take your power. Thank you so much for watching Sisters United. We definitely appreciate you. Please make sure you share. Make sure you share our page. Tell people about it. We definitely want to grow this platform because we want to be to do bigger and better things as time goes on. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone have a blessed day and be safe.